Just open with a word of prayer. Praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, Lord, that we can gather, Lord, this evening once again in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, there's not many here tonight, but Lord, your word does say that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in our midst, Lord. And so, Lord, we know, Lord, it doesn't really matter by how many's here, how many's not here, but Lord, we call upon you and we want you to be here. That's the most important thing, Lord. The room could be full of people, but if you weren't here, Lord, it wouldn't be anything other than a social gathering. But Lord, we want you to come and minister to us this evening, Lord. Come, Lord, and brood over us, Lord. Spread your wings over us, Lord, this evening, Lord, that we would find comfort and solace, Lord, in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would also lead us to instruction, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be your servants. Help us to be your ambassadors here in this earth, Lord. And we know the time is short and the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll give each one strength, Lord, and Lord, discernment, Lord, in these last days, Lord. Help us to be aware and awake, Lord, to things that's going on around about us, Lord, the political things, Lord, how it's been moved in this world, Lord, for the enemy's sake. And Lord, how that he would go about even as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We pray, Lord, we'll not be spiritually sleeping at this time, but we'll be awake. And Lord, that we'll be able to see the things that are happening, Lord. Lord, are foretold in your word. And we know, Lord Jesus Christ, that, Lord, these things must be before the end comes. Lord, we just pray that you'll give us all strength and help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to minister to our family and loved ones, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll save the unsaved in our families. Lord, we pray, Lord, you'll, Lord, yet again be long-suffering and merciful towards them, Lord. We pray, Lord, you'll grant them space to repent, Lord, for indeed the days are evil and, Lord, they're wicked. Lord, we just ask you, Lord God, that you'll deliver them, Lord, from this present evil world, even as you've delivered us, even as you've come into our hearts, Lord, and washed our sins away, Lord. You took the darkness away, Lord, and filled our lives full of light. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for that. Lord, we bring before you this evening, Lord, all those, Lord, that pertain, Lord, to us, Lord, in this fellowship, Lord, who are sick or unwell at this time, Lord. You know all the names, Lord, for Matthew, Lord, for John, Lord, for Samuel, Lord, for all the ones recovering, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will bless them, Lord. And Lord, for those perhaps that wouldn't want named, Lord, this evening, we know, Lord, you know the secret of every heart. We know, Lord, you know, Lord, those that have need of you. And we pray indeed you'll minister unto them and touch them, for Lord, you are the great physician. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you'll bless this time of fellowship together, Lord, and bless the pastors that comes, Lord, with your word this evening. Bless the time of prayer this evening also, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll help us to pray. Lord, for many times, Lord, we speak words, but Lord, we need inspiration, Lord, to pray for the things which are important. We pray, Lord God, that the Holy Ghost will come and minister to us in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, it's our greatest desire tonight that you will come, Lord, and minister to us this here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. He brought me into his banqueting house and his banner over me is...
He brought me into his banqueting house.
course before the pastor comes. Majesty, worship His Majesty.
Majesty.
One this evening, I want to thank Brother Gary for leading us in song tonight. A lot of people still sick and suffering, and we just trust the Lord will continue to touch and minister unto those that need the Lord's touch. And we want to try to continue on the best we can. And let us turn to our Bibles tonight, and the Lord bless each one, and those that might hear this at another date, the Lord bless. We're doing a little series on, really it's the natives of leadership in the church, and it's about the government and the church, what that should be according to the Bible, and some of the brothers thought it would be good if I would bring some of these things out, and I've really enjoyed it. To search it out and study it and read whatever I can, and we want to just share it, continue on this evening. And I did the first part on Sunday morning, and this is the second part, and we want to really look tonight at the first mention of elders in the New Testament. And as I said in the last service, that an elder doesn't mean somebody just as old, but an elder is a ministry. And it's a pastor also is an elder. There's other meanings for the word elder. And we know that elders were set up in all the churches in the book of Acts. And that was God's way of ordination, that God did it. Let's read from Acts chapter 11. Maybe we can just stand, and I know. Let's read the first verse and the last two verses of chapter 11. Acts Apostles chapter 11, verse 1, then verse 28 down. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Then verse 29 down to 30. Let's just go back to verse 28. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt at Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening for your precious word of truth. And we humbly approach you tonight in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we do say amen to what's already been prayed, that thou indeed would touch every one that's asked for your touch tonight. We think of our brother Yule that's hurt his back, that you touch his back and heal him in the name of Jesus Christ. And for the others that's been mentioned and those that didn't want mentioned, that you'll deliver them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit by faith right now to help me in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against every work of the devil in Jesus Christ's name. And I pray that you'll help us to be faithful witnesses and stewards of your work in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Elders is mentioned 200 times in the Bible and 19 times in the New Testament relating to the church. It becomes very clear the term elders defined the local statistic leadership of the New Testament church. At the beginning of this verse where we've read in Acts 11, we read of apostles and brethren in Judea, but we don't read of the elders. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea, verse 1, but the end of the chapter, we have the first mention of elders functioning amongst the early church. For it says, determined to send relief unto the brethren which are in Judah, which also they did send to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, which we know was Paul as well. They appear suddenly without explanation, fully functioning leadership role under the governance of the first apostles. Now if you study this chapter 11, this is where Peter wouldn't fellowship with the uncircumcision. And if you study it, God, it says Peter had fasted and so forth, and God dropped a sheet before him supernaturally. It says he was in a trance, and God dropped a sheet before him and showed him all manner of animals, unclean and everything, and he told him to eat, and he said he wouldn't do it. And the Lord said, don't call common or unclean what I have cleansed. And then Peter had the call that the gospel was to everybody, not just to the Jews, but to the uncircumcision also. And I think in that there's a lesson for every one of us. You know, a great quotation that some people don't quote is where it was said, I'd rather have a man with the wrong doctrine and the right spirit as a man with the right doctrine and the wrong spirit. And here we see what if God has cleansed somebody and they're really born again, we cannot call them common or unclean. They're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They're clean in the eyes of God. And maybe they wouldn't see things the same as some of us, but that's all right. We're not the rule of thumb. The word of God has to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when God cleanses somebody, they're cleansed. Now why did it appear so suddenly at the end of this particular chapter here, chapter 11, and it lays before us the beginning of the opening up of the door of the ministry to the Gentiles, like I've said, by Peter. When this news first reaches the apostles in Jerusalem, there's no elders in place at that time. But in the light of all these beginnings to happening, elders were set forth in all the churches as local leadership. Now, I've already said elders can be pastors, and I know I referred to it on Sunday, but when you think of James McConnell, was a pastor, definitely an evangelist, and I would go even further because the man had a prophetic gift upon him, what he could say things, and they happened. And you look at many pastors was ordained in that assembly, they were like elders here. That's the way you can scripturally look at it. And a pastor is like an elder. But he had lots of partners. Now, it was a big work. Obviously, for a smaller work, he wouldn't need so many elders. We know that. But universally, over the whole church, there has to be men ordained of God. And we already saw the qualifications for an elder is the exact same as a deacon. He must be the husband of one wife, one that ruleth his house well. And we saw all the things about the deacon's wife, what would qualify that man to take that position up. And we know that. I think I already went over that. Let's look at Acts 15. And I'm going to read verse 2, verse 4, and verse 6, and verse 22, 23. Acts 15, verse 2, then verse 4. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Verse 4. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles, elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. Verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. That's your council in the church. And I think I brought out clearly on Sunday morning, there's no words as a session, but it's like a council. Now, if it is a council, it has to be this way. So I think it's clear we can see just anybody can't be on this council. They have to be chosen men of God, elders, apostles. You can put the fivefold ministry in there because it was in there. Because Philip's an evangelist and Paul is an apostle and all these things. And then we're going to see the definition more clearly later of elders. Look at verse 22 to 23. Then pleased that the apostles and elders with the whole church. So it pleased the apostles and elders, but the whole church was in agreement. And some people don't believe in a vote of a church, but I do. And God's prophet said that a church must have a vote. That you can't have, as I said one other week, there's organizations and the elders hire a pastor and sack him. That's not scripture. That's not the way the Bible does it. They have the authority to do that. The elders and apostles can be a council, but then things have to be voted on by the whole church. Everybody has a say. The pastor's only one vote. You have a vote. Even as a brother or sister, you have as much a vote as a pastor or a deacon or an elder in the church. And every church is sovereign. You know, there's nobody. Now I know there's groups where they've had men over. That's all right. But most fellowships are sovereign. And we're trying our best to go with what scripture teaches us. Verse 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. So the news now, the gospel is beginning to spread also to the Gentiles. Look at chapter 16, verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. So they had things they believed in, doctrines that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Now in these early chapters we see the responsibility first administered by Jerusalem elders was handling of the finance received from Antioch. Chapter 11 verse 30 tells us that. Then you come up to chapter 12, we see them involved in doctrinal disputes. So there was doctrinal disputes. So these apostles set the true foundation. Now the Bible tells us that. That it's built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. So there's a true doctrinal foundation set that we should endeavour to keep that. We should endeavour to keep that true foundation, which is the Bible. Now, it's not in the Bible, but it's not a true doctrine. It's like people, well, a certain church does a certain thing, but is it in the Bible? If it's in the Bible, that's wonderful, but if it's not in the Bible, there's not. You don't have to hold to it. The scripture, it has to be in the scripture. At Jerusalem Council, we see the local government rested with the apostles and elders. Chapter 15, right through it, which we've read. Then much later in Acts 21, verse 18, we read that when Paul visited Jerusalem, that James and all the elders were present. In chapter 21, verse 18, it seems that other apostles were not present in Jerusalem at this time. So all of them weren't present, but some of them were. And probably they were out on the Lord's work because the work had begun. There was really a revival. I believe in the book of Acts here there was a revival. That these apostles went out and established works. And then they set elders to continue on the work. Praise God. Now I want to look briefly at Paul and eldership. After the initial appearance of eldership in the church of Jerusalem and during their establishment as a government of the church, we see Paul stepping out into the Gentile world in an apostolic ministry. Paul stepped out. So Paul didn't stay in one place. He was an apostle. And you know an apostle is a missionary. That's what an apostle, a modern word for an apostle, is a missionary. And Paul was definitely a missionary. And after pioneering churches in various towns, Barnabas and Paul did not stop and settle into a local ministry, but continued presenting forward an apostolic ministry into new areas. So there's men that are not pastors. They're apostles. Or they're evangelists. So they can't be in one place. They keep moving. They maybe have a local church that they're affiliated with in that sense. But, you know, they travel and they move and they do the work. Praise God. And you have to remember as well, when you study this is the beginning. This is the starting here. This is where it starts out, at the book of Acts, right through. So it's only getting going in the sense it's getting established. Now look, and then they returned again to Lystra and Iconium, Antioch, chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord on whom they believed. So they fasted and prayed, and they laid hands on them. And you know, when you read through as well, and up to chapter 13, just let's briefly turn to chapter 13. This blessed me as I just went over this again this evening. Chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Certain prophets. Now that lets you know there's more than one. Now people say there's no prophets, but here it says certain prophets. More than one. And we already saw a prophet earlier that prophesied of the dearth coming, which happened back in that time in chapter 11. We saw that. And prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius and Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, which we know as Paul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, so here's the key here. When in any work or any movement, we need the Holy Spirit to speak. Now we know the Holy Spirit has spoke before. And you know, if people say, well, the Holy Spirit's not working, the Holy Spirit's not speaking, well, then there's only one thing to do. Follow the scripture, fast and pray. And I'll guarantee if every one of us fasted and prayed enough and asked the Lord about it, the Lord will definitely speak because he never fails. And whether it's for the good or the bad, God will speak. Amen. And he warned them here sometimes. It wasn't good, but he still spoke, didn't he? And look, and as they ministered, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now you know, the Lord's already called Paul. And the Lord's already visited him. Now look at verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also joined to their ministry. And you know, they disputed with the Jews. When they went in there to preach to them Jews, they disputed with them, And they said to them, Jesus is the promised one, Isaiah 53. Because they didn't believe he was. They were still looking for him. But they went in to preach that he was. Praise God. There's so many things you can mention in this. Again, many years later, we see Paul giving Titus the same instructions. Titus 1 verse 5. For this cause left and creed, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. So this man was the ordained elders in every city. So when a church starts, you need a man at the head of it. Now, there can be more than one, because they ordained elders, more than one. And that's what they did. On a local level, we see other governments than eldership in each church, town, or city. It was certainly a priority to the apostles that local elders be raised up. Now, I want to look at the terminology of this word elder. Elders means bishops, overseers. Older can mean older in age. Simply spoke of maturity, primarily physical age. Now that's a natural standpoint. A leader over a local church, not a novice. In Greek culture, this term was given to new commissionaries or newly acquired colonies. Bishops, overseers. Superintendent, overseer, to watch over, an inspector. Paul used the term when pioneering new churches in the Gentile areas. First, we see elders were the same as overseers. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called elders, presbyters of the church. That's what it means. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Acts 20, verse 17 and verse 28. Then we see the elders were the same as bishops. For this cause left I thee in Crete. And this is Titus 1, 5 and 7 as well. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders, presbyters, in every city as I have appointed thee, for a bishop must be blameless. So we see these elders must be blameless. And when you study the qualifications that's given in the Bible, he must be a married man, his wife must be a believer. She must have a good spirit. There's so many details in this. You can't just flick over it. It's absolutely the truth. The same for a deacon will be the same for an elder and a pastor. A pastor as well must be a husband of one wife. Now we know Paul wasn't married. Paul said he had power to take a wife if he wanted, but he didn't. But he was an apostle. An apostle of the Lord. And remember also, Paul was very unique. And one born out of season. The Bible says that. And he was a messenger to the first church age. We believe that as well. Praise God. Again, we see that the elders who were over the side of the church, the elders, presbyters, which are among you, exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock. This is Peter 5, verse 1 to 2. Feed the flock and partakers of the glory which shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is amongst you, taking oversight thereof. Now I want to read it from the Amplified Bible, just to let you see the word slightly different. It expounds it basically a little bit. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 5 verse 1 and 2. I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and spiritual guides of the church. So God's warning the pastors and the guides of the church, and an elder can also mean a pastor. As a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory